You notice from the bulletin that our scripture for today is taken from the Psalm 77. Psalm 77. And the portion of that psalm that we're reading today begins in the 10th verse. Where we read, "Then I thought, this is how I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples." Story is told of a church that had gotten an ill repair, and they'd let it go for quite some time. But it had gotten to the place where they couldn't do that anymore, and they knew they had to do something. A committee was formed. The committee came up with a recommendation of what they could do to bring the church back up to date. They were flabbergasted by how much this was going to cost, but they brought it to the church meeting, to the church council, for their approval to go ahead with it. And they made the proposal, and then it got quiet because everyone there knew there was an older gentleman in the church that had quite a bit of money. And they all knew that all of this would depend on what he decided. So everyone sat there and waited until he told them what he thought. Finally, this guy stood to his feet and he said, "I just want everybody to know that I'm behind this and that I want to get the ball rolling by committing $5,000. And everybody's looking around like, was he not listening or what? $5,000? That's nothing. Well, as he sat down, he was a portly gentleman. As he sat down, he shook the floor, which shook the wall, which shook the ceiling, which shook loose a piece of plaster that came down and plopped him right on the head. He got back to his feet and he said, "Make that $50,000. And as he started to sit down, one elderly saint in the back row was heard to pray, "Oh Lord, hit him again." Now, in the scripture, "hit him again" does not appear. But in the scripture, "remind us," which is very similar, really, "remind us" does appear. And that's what I'd like us to talk about today. What things does God need to remind us of? The psalmist said, "I will remember." And then he goes on to list some of the things that God reminded him of. What are some of the things that we need to be reminded of today? One, we need to be reminded, Lord, remind us that you are with us. That you are with us. That you promise to never leave us or forsake us. Remind us of that. When I was the pastor here, there was a young man in the youth group's name was Scott Tuttle. And after I left here, and I was gone at least 15 years, because this was in the early 1990s when I was pastoring another church, I got a call that Scott had been working on a furnace that exploded. And he was badly burnt on his hands, his arms, shoulder, neck, and face. And they asked me if I would go visit him. He was in the University of Iowa Hospitals in the burn unit. Anybody ever been there? I don't recommend it. I mean, I recommend it for somebody that needs to go there, but... So anyway, I went to visit him, and I was warned before I went that it was going to be kind of tough. And you don't just walk in there. It's a locked unit, and they have to let you in. At any rate, and let me preface, some of you may not remember me. I am a wimp, and I admit it. But when they opened the doors and let me in there, if you've ever smelt burnt flesh, it is not a good smell. And I'm a wimp, but I about lost my lunch. At any rate, I went back to visit with Scott, and we were talking, and then he started showing me some of his burns. And I was going, yeah, that's bad. That's, yeah. And we started talking about what they were doing while he was in there. See, you don't just leave that to get better. Burnt flesh has to come off. And there's a whole process that they go through to do that. I said to him, how bad is it? And he said, it's not pleasant. And I said, well, about how long does it take? Because they did it every couple of days. How long does it take? And he said, usually about 2 hours. 2 hours? How on earth do you take that? He said, it's kind of interesting. He said, you remember on Sunday nights how we, before we'd split up into the youth and the adults, on Sunday nights, how we would sing songs, choruses, and hymns. I said, yeah, I remember. I was there. He said, well, when they start working on me, he said, I begin my own little concert in my head. And he said, I start singing those choruses and hymns. He said, you know, we sang a lot of them, so even though I have 2 hours to sing, I don't always sing the same ones every time, except, he said, there is one hymn that I sing every time. Now, remember our theme for today? Remind us. Remind us. He said, every time I sing this hymn, why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. What was he doing? He was reminding himself that God is always there. I think we need to do that too, don't we? Some of us have maybe some scars in our life. Some of us maybe have been through some tough times. Maybe some of us have to deal with some tough times right now. We need to be reminded that his eye is on the sparrow, and we can know that he cares for us. You think it's just a coincidence? Do you think Jesus just pulled that one out of the air? Jesus, who's so intentional and who does everything for a reason and a purpose. Because that song is taken right out of the scripture, you know. Did Jesus just happen to throw out a sparrow when he gave that illustration? What was his point? Sparrow is known, still is known, as a worthless bird. Jesus is pointing out to us what? If God cares about a worthless bird, don't you think he cares about you? Don't you think he'll be there for you? We need to be reminded. Someone has said, through a word well spoken or a touch well timed, have you sensed his presence? Well, remember. Remember. Number two, remind us of the importance of our relationship with you. Remind us of the importance of our relationship with you. The Bible says it's what? It's of first importance. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Excuse me just a second. We all know I'm old. When I was a pastor and somebody asked me when I came here, and I came here at the end of the summer of 67. And in 1969, some of you will remember this, I got my first new car. I got a 69 Plymouth Roadrunner. Still the best car I ever owned. But I was young and foolish. Those go together, I think. I was young and foolish, and that car was really fast, and I drove it fast. And this was my first pastorate. I was just starting out. And at that time, and again, if you're older, you maybe will remember this, but at Honey Creek New Providence Friends Church, they had a pastor who was on the other end of things. His name was Sylvan Murdoch. And that was his last church before he retired. But even though there was this huge gap in our ages, we got along really well. I loved Sylvan. And so we did a lot of things together, including going to pastors' meetings and other church functions. And I was the young one, so I always drove. Sylvan credited me with improving his prayer life. Because as you can figure out, he said, whenever I ride with you, I really pray. Now you might be asking, is there a point to this? And there is a point. Because I knew Sylvan and had a relationship with Sylvan, also at this church, we had an active youth group. And in the summer, we had what we called a youth blowout. Now, this wasn't VBS. We had that too, but that's not what this was. This was for the junior high and high school kids, and we had a week-long youth blowout. And we tried to make it into a big deal. And so I tried to come up with things to do to make it a special week. And Sylvan had a son, Don, that was a pastor. And see, back in that day, we're way back there, but back in that day, we didn't have mega churches like we have today. But we had large churches, and Sylvan's son was the pastor of a large church in California. So I asked Sylvan if he would ask his son if his son would consider being our speaker for the youth week blowout that we had. I don't know if you remember this or not, but there's some of you here who were there. And I don't know, I'm guessing that Sylvan told his son he was going to do it, but I don't know how it came out anyway. It was agreed that his son, Don, would do it. So he would come, so he came and he was there for the week, and he would speak. And then we'd break up into other things that they were doing. And part of it for me was I knew that he was a pastor of a large church, meaning that he obviously was pretty successful, and I wanted to pick his brain. I wanted to find out, what methods do you use? What tricks of the trade do you have? And so when it was done, he and I would be together, and I would be pumping him. But he kept talking to me about his devotional life. Now remember, I was young and foolish. And after probably not too long, a night or two of that, I said to him, well, you know, Don, that's really interesting, but what I really want to hear, and he said to me, again, remind us, he said to me, and I say to you, he said, you don't get it, Dave. What I'm talking to you about is of first importance. Your relationship with God, your devotional life with God, your developing your relationship with God is the most important thing in your life. It's way more important than how many years you've gone to church, how many committees you've served on, how much money you've given to the mission. All those other things matter. They matter. They're important, but they're not of first importance. They don't matter the most. What matters the most is, what matters the most is your relationship with God. You need to work on that. You need to develop that. And then he told me about what he did. Not that I had to do it, but he was just trying to give me an example. And you remember when this was, late 60s, early 70s. So it was a long time ago, but I still remember this. He said he began every time he began his devotional time with God by singing a little chorus. He was not only a good speaker, but he was a good singer, so he sang it. I'm going to do you a favor and not sing it. However, this is what he said that he began every day singing. Seek him in the morning when you see the sun arising. Praise him in the evening because he brought you through the day. And in the in-between time, when you feel the pressure coming, remember that he loves you and he promises to stay. I've not forgotten that because what was he telling me? What was he trying to remind me of? That our relationship with God, we should seek him when? At night when we're about to fall asleep in bed, that's when we seek him. Seek him in the morning. Begin your day by seeking God. Begin your day by spending time with him. Now, I've not forgotten that. However, I admit to you, there's a lot of days I don't do that. There's a lot of days that I'm ashamed to admit how much of my day has gone by before I even think about God. Seek him in the morning. And then he said, and praise him in the evening. You spend much time praising God? You spend much time thanking God for what he's done? For what we have because of him? I find that too often in my life, I do not. I do not. And that's not a good thing. That needs to change. So remind us, God, to praise you. Someone has said that in heaven, we will spend much of our time praising God for who he is. Well, if that's what we're going to do in heaven, shouldn't we get a start on it, folks? Shouldn't we right here be doing it? And remember, he says, that he brought you through the day. Remind us of the importance of our relationship with you and that we make that a first priority. Number three, remind us that you give us what we really need. Remind us, God, that you give us what we really need. Isn't it an amazing thing how often when we go to God in prayer, we tell him, here's the problem, God, and here's what needs to be done. And this is what I want you to do. I find that amazing. I do it. But I find that amazing. When in fact, we should be going to God, remind us, God, that what you give us is best. Remind us that we need to seek what you want and what you want for us. Now, I got down all kinds of examples. We're not going to have time to do them. But I got all kinds of examples here of how we think we know, and so we ask for, but it's not best. Here's an example. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, I've said it myself, what I want is justice. I say that. Have you said that? What I want is justice. There's a problem there. That's not really what we want. What is justice, by the way? Justice is defined as getting what you deserve. That's justice. Getting what you deserve. Do you want what you deserve? In Romans, for example, in Romans we read, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, we need to spend a lot of time in seminary or in graduate school or something to try and figure out what all means, don't we? What does all mean? How many here have sinned? Everybody. How many outside these walls have sinned? Everybody. Everybody. So all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then Romans goes on to tell us that the wages of sin is death. The wages of what we have done is death, separation from God. That's justice. Justice is being separated from God forever. How many want justice? But we think we do. But God, instead of giving us justice, gives us, have you ever heard of these words? Mercy and grace. That's what God gives us. What's mercy? Well, mercy is not getting what you deserve. What we deserve for our sin is to be punished. God, in his mercy, sent Christ to die on the cross for us so that what? So that he would take the punishment for our sin. That's mercy. It's because of what Jesus did that I don't get what I deserve. Praise God. So he gives us mercy. And then he gives us grace. What is grace? Grace is getting all kinds of stuff you don't deserve. I'm amazed by the people that think that they get what they've earned. Really? I don't think so. It's by the grace of God. Every gift comes from God. Every good and perfect gift, the Bible tells us, comes from God. Every good thing that comes into our lives comes from him. It's his grace. So God gives us mercy and grace. Another example would be, God gives us forgiveness. Can you believe that? That he's willing to forgive me? And as the as one of the Gaither songs says, not only does he forgive me, he forgives me again and again and again. He gives me what I need. His grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. Well, we didn't spend enough time there, but we got to move on or we won't be done. So, number four, for those of you who are keeping track, number four, remind us that in you we have everything that we need. Remind us that all that we want, we have in you. Man by the name of Bob Russell tells this story in his book. He tells of a farmer who had a farm and he became discontent with his farm. He griped about the lake on his property that he constantly had to stock and manage, and he complained about all the fat cows that lumbered through his pasture that he had to feed. And then he complained about all the fencing and all the feeding, and what a headache. He decided he was going to sell his farm. So he called a realtor. Told the realtor he wanted to sell his farm. He got a call back a couple days later from the realtor, and she asked for permission. She wanted him to hear how she was going to advertise his farm that she was going to sell. And so she read him the ad that she had written. And in the ad, she described a lovely farm in an ideal location, quiet and peaceful, contoured with rolling hills, carpeted with soft meadows, nourished by a fresh lake, and blessed with well-bred livestock. The farmer said, "Read that to me again." And then he said, "I've changed my mind. I'm not going to sell. I've been looking for a place like that all my life." Do you see, folks, how, because some of us have been Christians for a lot of years, how easy it is for us to take for granted all that we have in Jesus? Jesus, the one who we've been looking for all our lives. The one who gives us all that we need. Remind us of that. Remind us of that. I several years ago attended a conference, and a speaker at the conference was a man by the name of William Eason, and he was the pastor of a large church in Dallas. And he said, don't get me wrong, Jesus has done so much for me. And he said, and I fully trust and believe that Jesus will do many more things for me. But I want to say to you, he said, when I think of the cross, when I think of Jesus dying on the cross, when I think of what Jesus went through on the cross for me, when I think of Jesus giving his life for me, he says, I say to you, if he doesn't do another thing for me, he's done enough. We need to be reminded of that. We need to remember all that we have in him. Lord, remind us. The psalmist said, I will remember. At Christmas, a week ago, my family got together. Everybody was there. And before we did all the important things like opening the presents, before we did that, we lit the Advent candles, and then we lit the center candle, the Christ candle. And we talked about the Christ candle, and we talked about how that really is the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. The Bible, from the beginning to the end, tells us about Jesus, who was born, who lived, who died, and who rose again. And I wanted them to know how that's of prime importance, Jesus and what he's done. And I said, and it's summarized in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If we declare with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I wanted them to know that, and I wanted them to remember that. And I said, for anybody that memorizes that verse and repeats it to me, I'll give them $20. I'm out $140. And I'm happy to be out $140. I'm not offering you $20 today. However, you should make that a priority to remember. To remember. The psalmist said in Psalm 77, I will remember. This year, 2023, we need to remember. Remind us, God.